Would you just open a word of prayer for us, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again that we can just have this opportunity to gather together and to just look into your word and learn and to reflect on who you are. And we thank you for that. We just pray for Don now. He would support the word. We just pray that you would be with him and give him the strength to lead him. And just help us to have open hearts and open ears to your word.
Amen. Thank you. I was talking to a lady this week. She's an acquaintance through working on my back a little bit, and a nice person. Thank you. I don't believe she's a believer. Yeah, she's a nice lady, but I don't think she's a believer. But she has several children, two children, and we were just talking about them and just kind of communicating. And we were talking about technology and her challenge with them in not having too much technology, not being overloaded with technology and filling their lives with some other aspects as well. But it's interesting, I don't know that we've ever had a culture where there was more distraction. I mean, it may be technology, it may be in other realms, but there's so much distraction. And If you think about the impact of it on people's lives, one of the things I think it tends to do, again, I'm not against technology, obviously, but one of the things, if we're absorbed in it so much, we can be drawn away from the scriptures and the word. It's just one of the big challenges. I think Satan is not only the God of this world, he's also the orchestrator of distraction. I was thinking about another related thing in when we had the wonderful privilege of, as you know, of having our grandkids here over right after Christmas, and it was a wonderful time. And I was able to talk to the oldest two boys. They're our oldest grandkids and the oldest ones in that family, and after our conversation about the gospel, I'm pretty sure, I knew the older boy was saved, but I'm pretty sure the second boy is saved too. So that was just very, very encouraging to me. Thank the Lord for that. But my thought is, how much will they be in the Word as they grow? You know, they know a lot more about technology than I do right now, right? I'm not planning on catching up. But it's amazing to me, it's so easy to be sidetracked and distracted from the Word. Now, the question that I have is this. Does it make any difference? Does it make any difference whether we're distracted from the Scriptures? I think, you know, you probably wouldn't be here tonight if you thought it didn't matter, right? But I want to go back to a passage that we were at and talk about some of the things, the core reason, or one core reason that we see in the passage that it does matter, and then some specific things of making application with the Scripture. So let's go back to the famous passage on the Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:17. We were already there, and I just want to highlight something, and then I want to go back to 16. We read this passage, and I know 17 obviously follows 16, but I want to go there first and then return back to 16. Now, I'm going to read it in several different versions. 17, it talks about the inspired Word of God, and this is brings it down to a core reason we need the Word. That, verse 17, that the man of God, I'm reading, this is an old translation, actually goes back to Darby's translation, which he had some good, he obviously saw the Greek well, but it says that the man of God may be complete, and then he says this, fully fitted to every good work. I thought that was an interesting statement, fully fitted to every good work. In the New American Standard that I use most of the time, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And that's a very good translation as well. Equipped for every good work. And we'll we've talked about it. We'll revisit it just a little bit. In the NIV, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped. You notice how adequate and equipped are put together by that phrase. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then the New Living Translation puts it this way. It is God's way of preparing us, the Word of God, is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. I thought that was a kind of a simple way of saying it, but bringing it home. Now, one of the things that's common is every good work or every good thing. The purpose and the reason the Scripture is profitable, which is, and I just read the verse ahead, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate. Obviously, so that every believer, every man and woman will be adequate. And as we already said this, but I think this is a good explanation of this, a definition from one of the Greek tools, able to meet all demands, adequate, able to meet all demands. That's a very helpful, because in our world, and it's always, every culture has its own unique pressures. There's no doubt about it. But we are faced with a number of things. This lady I was talking to, we're talking about all the things. And of course, I'm older than she is, probably by 20 years, maybe not quite. I'm amazed how much things have changed so rapidly. I mean, I think back, Everett and I laugh about farm stories and stuff. But it was a simpler time. And I have to say, I really enjoyed it too. Not everything, but I enjoyed a lot of it. But when I think of the way, the good old days, it shows you how old you are, right? The good old days. But how much, like the kids that you're ministered to and Leah, you're ministered to, those kids are in such a different zone than I was ever in. And the pressure on them is more intense than it was on me. So we want them to be adequate to meet every demand that comes their way. And I know that's your heart. We want them to be able to cope with what rushes in on their lives. So, and they're the very ones, that age group is the very ones targeted by our culture to keep them so distracted in other realms, they don't even have time to think about what the Bible says about something. So one of the reasons we need to encourage them, and Dylan and Liam are going to help us as well in going through how to study the Bible, but hopefully when we learn principles, we'll be able to pass principles on, at least some of those principles on to those who aren't in that study and those who are younger than we are, because they have to be ready to handle what's coming. And there's some, obviously that doesn't mean everything's negative, but even the positive things can derail us, right? We want to keep growing and help others to grow so they're adequate to meet all the demands placed upon them. Now, adequate and equipped. Equipped, and this is what I think is, we know this, but I want to highlight it. For every good work. Now, we know we're not saved by good works, but good works are very important to God once we are saved. And we've said that many times. But I just want to highlight a few things about this. God desires that we live a life of good works. I think part of the reason for that is because God is good. And if we are growing in the Lord, then His goodness will be increasingly reflected in our character and on our action. So we become in a sense a statement of what, a somewhat, and obviously we're far removed from perfection in this, but a statement of somewhat, what is God like when he handles light, when he lives through, just like the Lord Jesus in his humanity, there should be goodness. People should see goodness in the way we carry out our lives, in the way we relate to our neighbor. Every good work. Now, let's think of passages we already know, but I just want to allow the Word of God to heighten and put this in somewhat of exclamation point. You know this, Ephesians 2:8 is very clear. For by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works. It's very, very clear, so that no one may boast. But then it just goes right on. For, verse 10, we are his workmanship, or his craftsmanship, his work of excellence, we could say, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That we're created for that. That's part of our purpose in life. We were created and saved to live out. And then he says this, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Now just think about it a second. However long you've been traveling through life, and however long we have left to travel in this world, God has designed opportunities for us to do things that are good. And it's an opportunity to make a statement about what God is like to our neighbor, to the person, the counter at the grocery store, what God is like when we're dealing with kids at youth group, what God is like for those who are in university, what God would be like in taking a test, what God is like in raising kids, very challenging, convicting. But anyway, you think, this God has a path. And so God's path for Dylan is different than for Dick. But there's similarities, but there's differences. But each one is a unique opportunity to do good works that God has designed. I mean, it's amazing. God has a specific plan for each one of us. And it's a privilege. It's an awesome honor that God has this. But it's to do good works. We're a workmanship. It's amazing. Created in Christ for good works. Now, let's just think. This is a prayer. This is in Colossians 1, 9 through 10. And it's a beautiful prayer. And Colossians 1, 9. For this reason, also since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Isn't that an amazing request? Just think. God wants us to grasp. He wants us to grasp. This is the prayer that we will grasp. Knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Isn't that right over the top? Now why? Just so we're smart? No. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. Every good work, bearing fruit. Isn't that amazing? So we need, notice, in order to do that, we need to have all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We need to be growing in our wisdom. How are we going to do that? Through the Word, right? But taking in the truth, living it out. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. Bearing fruit in every good work. It's amazing. What? The privilege that is ours. Now, I'll just highlight this very quickly, but this is another prayer. This is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it begins in verse 16, the sentence, but just for time, verse 17. This is part of the prayer. God will comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. So what we do, what we say. What we do, what we say. It's a big deal. These are prayers. And so these prayers take us from knowing what God wants us to do and knowing God himself and then doing what God wants us to do. That's a privilege we have because we were created from the beginning of creation. God created us as a workmanship, a work of excellence. That's what he wants. And it will be shown and evident in what we do and how we live out. So this is a privilege. So we need the word. We need the word to do the walk. We will not be equipped to carry out God's will for our life of good works unless we continue in the word. That's what we got to hold on to. That's why it's a big deal. That's one reason. Obviously, there are others. To walk in God's will is to walk in God's word. Okay, now, so let's just read our passage all together again. And then I want to go back to verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Now, remember, Paul's talking to Timothy, his son in the Lord. And obviously, when you have a son, you love him and you want the best for him. And he says, all scripture is inspired by God, he says to his son. All scripture is inspired by God. It's God-breathed. By God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, all that, so that, again, the man of God, you, me, may be adequate, ready, equipped for every good work. Okay, so we got the good works, but we have to have the word. And this is what I know we talked about this, but someone said to me after the last session, it would be helpful to look at these four categories in some of the ways that's actually accomplished in Scripture. And so I thought, well, you know what? I think that's a good suggestion. And so I went back and I just looked at some of the places these words or the concept is used. Now, what I want to do in these areas, I want to give some examples, but with these examples, I want us to think, how can we apply these areas? How can we apply them? Again, it doesn't mean necessarily you're up front of a group, but maybe it's over coffee. Maybe it's just talking to your neighbor. Maybe it's talking to someone in our fellowship time. You know, I mentioned this on various occasions, but I think it's really neat when we can just kind of interact. But, you know, sometimes people come in and they're discouraged. You know, they'd never say this. They'd never wave the flag, I'm so discouraged today. They wouldn't say that. Some people would say, if they were honest, they'd say, I feel so lonely in this room. Do you ever look around and you see somebody just stranded all by themselves? Don't let them stay stranded. You say, well, I can't remember their name. That's all right. Go up and say hi. You know, sometimes I say to Marty, I said, honey, if you know, because I go different places, not a lot, but I go different places, and I say, and if I see somebody in the store, I say, if I don't introduce you, it's because I can't remember their name. So, I just can't. So anyway, if I forget your name, forgive me, okay? Anyway, but when we try to just reach out to people, love people, and here are some of the ways God wants us to minister to people, whether it's in this fellowship room, after service. Dara and I were talking last Sunday night. Nobody wanted to leave. I think that's a good thing, right? Just fellowship, right? But it might be that time where you just say, you know, somebody says, and you know, do you ever think of, this verse might be an encouragement to you today, you know? So anyway, so let's think in these four areas as the Lord allows time. Teaching. This is pretty straightforward. All right? We understand this. Let's go. I'm going to go to where this word is used for teaching, to 1 Corinthians 4:17, just to show you some places where the teaching. Obviously, we don't have to elaborate very much on this, but it. I think we need to see how the Scripture obviously gives us examples. 1 Corinthians 4:17, for this reason, Paul's writing obviously, I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. I teach, that's our word, right? I mean, he teaches, and notice, he teaches everywhere in every church. Teaching is critical. That's, you know, We thank the Lord we have opportunities for teaching, whether it's on Friday night, whether it's Wednesday at you know, in the morning with the little ones, or the ladies' coffee hour, the time out, whatever. But teaching the word. Again, we have to have the truth. We have to have the truth. And, you know, there's other things. There's more than just teaching. We understand that. But teaching is critical. It's not the only thing. We need worship. We need prayer. We need fellowship. But teaching is absolutely essential. Because we don't, you know, you're not going to have healthy fellowship if it's not based on principles in Scripture. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to be praying for the right stuff if you don't know what God says pray for. So anyway, teaching. Now, I love Colossians, and I just want to read several passages that use the word in Colossians. Colossians 1:28. Excuse me. We proclaim him, the Lord Jesus. Colossians is so Christ-centered. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. So you draw the wisdom from the word and you pass it on. You pass it on. So we gain the wisdom and teaching every man with all wisdom. Now just think. And again, I think that's a wonderful thing where we have different... I'm so thankful for the diversity of ministries, where you have someone teaching little, young, like in Sunday school, and then you have other realms. So, but teaching every person with wisdom from God's word, and this is that what we're aiming for, so that we may present every man complete, or we could say mature, in Christ. We want people to be saved. May God give us grace and greater effectiveness in leading people to Christ. We need that. We need more effectiveness, and may God use us. But after you have a baby believer, then we want to mature them, and it takes time. I was talking to somebody just yesterday. It takes time. That's one of the hard things, right? We want to just, poof, I'm mature, right? It's not going to happen. It takes time. But what we're aiming at is that this little baby becomes, you know, a teenager. That's a little rough stage. But as they get more mature, then they become complete. They're more mature. That's what we're aiming at. And they'll be healthy. And then they can turn around and help others. A mature believer is not just, well, look at me, I'm really advanced. No, they turn around and minister to other people. That's part of their maturity. So, but it takes the word. We proclaim Christ, teaching about the Lord Jesus through the word. Okay. Let's look at, I'm just trying to figure out which ones. I got too many passages here, but Colossians 3, we're in Colossians, let's go to Colossians 3. Excuse me. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ, I love that phrase, the word of Christ, which is the word of God, but the word of Christ, richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching. But notice that. I don't really have much to say unless the word of Christ dwells in me richly. So it needs to dwell in me. And so then I have wisdom, and I can pass on. And the same for each one of us. This is not just, again, somebody up front. It's let the word of Christ dwell in each of us, so that with all wisdom, we grow in wisdom, we can teach one another. And we'll talk about admonishing in just a moment. But teaching one, then, you know, this is also important. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, that's part of ministry too. I thank the Lord for music. I don't know if it's part of getting older, but I thank the Lord for music, because it does something to our brain. It seems like it touches a part of our brain that other things don't touch. So think of the hymns. Sometimes I can't remember the words, but the hymn will, you know, some of the phrases will go through my mind. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. What theology in that, right? Beautiful. Okay, Paul says to Timothy, teach these things. Let's go to one last. I could go to a number, but let's go to 2 Timothy, because Paul's passing on truth to 2 Timothy, or to Timothy in 2 Timothy. And in verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 2, you therefore, my son, you know that relationship And again, we want to have strong relationships in the body. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I think we all know this, but just to highlight it, it's only by God's grace that we can actually pull this off. It's only God's grace. But be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. So Timothy had heard Paul teaching, right? And obviously he's an apostle. The things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men, those who will pass on, those who will take the truth and pass it on to other people, those who are faithful to the word, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So that's one of the things, and we've mentioned this just a little bit. Discipleship, trying to take the truth and pass it on to those around us so that they in turn will pass it on to those around them. I was just reading a book today, just a part of it, and it said, if the Lord Jesus, you know, he made disciples. We're to make disciples, as it says in Matthew 28. We're to make disciples. But the Lord Jesus made disciples. If the Lord Jesus had, you know, just came and just kind of talked and then after his death, resurrection, went back to heaven, and he had 12 people, but he hadn't really discipled them, we wouldn't exist. We wouldn't have heard the gospel. But they not only came to trust Christ, they were discipled by Christ, and they passed on the truth, but they also not only passed on the truth, but they learned how to make disciples. They made disciples. Those disciples made disciples. Those disciples made disciples. And finally, the chain of truth got down to us. And that's what we're to pass it on, right? And so by teaching the truth, teach others also. Now, I think one of the most outstanding books on teaching, but obviously all of it is teaching, is just Romans. It's just so systematic, so didactic. It just builds on truth and essential truth, obviously. But all the Bible is essential. It just kind of puts it in a frame that helps us grasp some critical points. Now let's talk about, just for a moment, I don't have a lot of time, but let's talk about reproof. Reproof. The Word of God is essential for teaching and for reproof. One scholar puts it, to refute error. To refute error. There's a need. Why do we need reproof? Because we live in a sinful world. And what we're talking about, we're not just talking about reproving an unbeliever and say, you need to get saved. Obviously, that's important. But this is talking about relating to believers. What goes on? We are growing when we have not arrived. We live in a sinful world. We pick up sinful ideas. We care if we live them out, we live in a sinful way. And so there are times that we need to be rebuked or reproved. We're not talking about being nasty. We're talking about somebody helping us. Like if you had somebody and they fell out of a boat and they couldn't swim very well, you would be totally wrong not to help them. You would, the very first thing you do is try to figure out how to get them out of the water back into the boat. And God wants us to help other dear believers who have fallen out of the boat get back in. So at times, though, they don't want to hear what we have to say. And we don't want, I mean, think of the times, maybe it hasn't been very many because we're in a real political correct culture. So even in our Christian circles, we're pretty slow to challenge somebody about something. I mean, I admit that as well. But there are times that we need to be reproved, and other people need to be reproved. And think of times that somebody challenged you and you just stiffened up and you didn't listen. Right? There have been times, right? Now, we're not sharing. I know. I understand that. But just think about that. Times that, you know, you remember, we can always blame dad, dear old dad or dear old mom. You know, they did it and we thought, oh, can't believe it, right? How dare they hurt my little personality, right? One time Dad said to me, I don't care if I hurt your little personality. It's still stuck, I guess, right? I'm warped for life. But anyway, he was trying to grow me up, right? And again, we're not trying to be demeaning to people, but we're trying to help people. Because sin warps us. It twists us. It gets us off the road. Now, let's just think. This is a very interesting passage. This one is written to elders, but obviously we're not the only ones supposed to do it. But this is one of the things that's hard about being an elder, but I might say. Let's go to Titus chapter 1, verse 9. I'll watch my time here and try to get you out of here. This is an interesting passage. It says, Titus 1, 7, for the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward. Not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, so on, so on. Notice verse 9, holding fast the faithful word. This is critical for leadership, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and refute, that's our word, refute those who contradict sound doctrine. Now that is not fun. That is not fun. And notice it goes on to say, and this gives an explanation, for there are many rebellious men, empty talkers, and deceivers. And then it says in verse 11, who must be silenced. Whoa. Oh, dear. I do remember a few events where I had to challenge a few people. And on a few of them, I thought I might lose my teeth, right? There was a few hotheads, and I remember one time a person said to me, we were in a meeting, and this is years ago, another far, far away, and we were in a meeting, and this person just, and there were, thankfully, I wasn't by myself, but there were several people, several elders, and we were in a meeting, and this person got so angry, the person we were challenging, so angry. And another friend of mine said, I heard this years later, he was in that meeting, he said, I was scared. I was too. But, and obviously a lot of times things are not near that intense. Hopefully they're not that often. But there are times we love somebody, just like, I'm sure picking on Liam here, but just think, there are some times with a young person, they need to be reproved. It takes a lot of wisdom. You know, they get their back up. But to help them, and also not to mess up the rest of the youth group, you're trying to save the group, right? So there's reproof. So there's times, and only by God's grace can we get it done effectively. And it doesn't mean people will always respond right. But we need to make sure we respond right as believers. Now, I know this is to elders, but it's not just for elders. Notice that this is in Titus as well, and I am trying to get done. Okay. This is I find this so interesting in Titus. In verse 12, chapter 1, one of themselves, a prophet of his own. So this is not a believer, but somebody who is a Cretan. The Cretans, this is what he said. The Cretans are always liars. I thought, isn't it amazing? This is a real PR statement. They're always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. That's just what kind of person you'd want to hire, right? And then what I find is amazing, verse 13. This testimony is true. Dear me. For this reason, reprove them severely so that they may be sound in the faith. Isn't that interesting? Now notice what it assumes. They already have faith, but they're not sound in their faith. Whoa. Now, again, I think it's important to be gracious, but sometimes we have to be tough. But if we don't know the word, we're not going to be able to help anybody. We just can't help anybody. And so it's important for us to love people, care about people, be gentle with people, but yet be truthful with people. And so the thing is, we're not the standard. The word of God is the standard. It's not like, well, I'm smarter than you or I'm more holy than you. No, no, no. If you ever reprove somebody, make sure it's consistent with what God's word says. It's not just our preference. It's not just, well, you know, I'm trying to bully you. That's not what this is about at all. I'm trying to help you. And there are times we need people to help us. We need to be responsive to reproof, and we need to be willing by God's grace to give reproof when it's needed. Why? Because we're trying to help people. We're trying to help them. It's a sinful world, and Christians get messed up in sin too. So may God help us. And we need the word. We can't reprove properly without God's word. We just can't do it. So we absorb it, and then there are times we have to share it, even in times we feel uncomfortable. But we'll just stop with that because I see my time. But anyway, may God help us in these areas. These is very practical. You see it in Scripture. We need teaching. We need reproof. And we'll, Lord willing, talk about the rest later. So let's just pray as we close. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is what we need. We thank you that it is designed to prepare us to work in conjunction by your Spirit through your word to help us be the workmanship you want us to be the person you want us to be, to accomplish your will that you've laid out for us. So we pray that we'll absorb your word, we'll live your word, and we'll pass on your word to those around us. So we pray for this, God. We need your amazing grace to touch us, not only to save us, but to transform us by your word. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.